Just take a moment to admire the fact that I just hit a fairway.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot, so why waste time doing it?
And where I would go, wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at.
Right at it! Home!
He's done it again!
This is the dumbest hole I've ever played in my life.
Come on then, Shane. Knock it close.
Shane Lowry is the Open champion.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Fairway Finders. It's episode number 87. Coming at you straight from the bathroom here at Shea Brew's house. I'll explain that, but unfortunately, Steve could not make it this week, but I am, of course, joined by Donica Ladd. How are you doing?
Laughing in the background. Yeah, so if you want to just get an insight into the commitment to this, Brew is currently stood in his jacks in Cork because it's the best place where the Wi-Fi is in the house. So a big, big, big props for the commitment there. But I swear to God, if you start sitting on that toilet, I am fucking out of here. If the camera is on, and I've been watching True Detective Night Country the last 2 weeks, and I'm traumatized enough by that, I don't need to see you taking a dump on top of it.
No, unfortunately, I will not do that, I promise. but yeah, so I suppose we've been off the air for a while. The last podcast was last July.
Don't even admit to it. Look, yeah, we got to the last major of the year. Nobody cares about the FedEx. Nobody cares about political back and forth and antitrust lawsuits and all of this shit. So we decided we have to get the band back together. Steve couldn't make this week, but we're going to get him back soon. What are we? We're 4 weeks into the year and we've had like the most absurd sequence of winners I can ever remember. Like, yeah. How long am I watching golf on a weekly basis? Probably 12, 15 years. I can never remember a 400-1, a 200-1, a fucking amateur, and another 150-1 in 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy, to be honest with you.
Do you know the figure? If you rolled it over, so if you had a 1 quid on Chris Kirk to win the century, a 200-1, if you rolled it over, 1.8 billion. Hilarious.
Fucking hilarious.
Ridiculous. Yeah. You'd only be like waiting on someone like Max Homa to win this week and you could buy Twitter off Elon Musk.
I know, man.
Easy
money. But yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get to the last few tournaments. We'll get to, you know, here and there. But one thing I guess we have to talk about is Tyrrell Hatton going to live. And I have to say, before we get started, I text my mum saying, oh, Tyrrell Hatton's gone to live. She literally texts back, what a fucking traitor.
I love that she used the word traitor, because by the by, that show on BBC, you got to be watching it. Yeah, so look, it's been ages since we recorded. All sorts of stuff has gone on. We haven't really spoken about the fact that Ram has gone and decided that he you know, he doesn't care about legacy anymore and all the shit that he said beforehand. So Tyrrell, let's be honest, I fucking love Tyrrell Hatton. So this one hurts. And there's just no amount of guys moving over to live that is going to get me engaged with it. I've had to park my own personal, you know, views on you know, Saudi Arabia coming in and leveraging golf and investing in the way they're doing and the real reason they're doing it. And I guess maybe there's an argument for, you know, that it is like actually legitimate and they do love golf, but whatever. This one seemed to be protracted for a while. When Ram moved, it looked as if him and Tyrrell got on very well, and it looked as if this could happen, and it has come to pass. So the number, because all of this is money driven, it's got nothing to do with sport, it's barely anything to even do with golf, it was 60 million. And to put it in context, Tyrrell Hatton in 128 PGA Tour starts has career earnings just on the PGA Tour of $22 million. So he's trebling his lifetime earnings on the PGA to go and play in this team exhibition kind of nonsense.
Yeah, and also I have to say I'm a bit disappointed, not just from Hatton's point of view, because my favorite golfer of 2023, the tall pole.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't signed yet, but apparently it's
it's
very
done.
Nearly done, and that's disappointing.
I think the roster, I hate that word, the roster for the finalized teams are announced next Wednesday. So Moronk withdrew from the Farmers citing illness. That's obviously nonsense. He's going to be on that roster, so he's going to be moving over. So like the guys that have moved this year, you've got Ram, you've got Hatton now, you've got Moronk. So there's, you know, two Ryder Cup stalwarts, probably should have been a third Ryder Cup player amongst that as well. Moronk was really unlucky. You have to ask the question now, honestly, in terms of entertainment value, I think Liv definitely has the better characters, to be honest. Yeah. In terms of pure, straight up quality, like where, you know, let's take UFC versus Bellator analogy. UFC has much the better fighters. This could be, Hatton going could be the tipping point now.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
even Moronk, because yes, he's not a A-class golfer per se, but on the European Tour, he was a lad, he was top five, top 10, a hell of a lot last year.
And he's a big loss. Amazing consistency. And a guy, like, to be honest, his performances on the DP World Tour, they weren't translated onto the PGA. He kind of just came over and he played three or four events. He's much better than what he showed. He is an absolutely like rock solid top 50 player in the world right now.
Absolutely, yeah.
And yeah, another one gone to live. So if you total it all up in terms of compelling dudes, Bryson is amazing to watch. Brooks is always very interesting, but on and off the course. Ram, quite engaging. Tyrrell, hilarious. You know, Phil Mickelson is a growing like enigma in terms of his life kind of fell apart, and you're just intrigued to look at him. Like, they've got a lot of compelling dudes over
Bryson,
there.
Bryson, right? Like, people.
Well,
like,
Bryson, yeah,
love to hate, like you know what I mean. So
I mean, to be honest, like no disrespect to their guys, like guys who are coming to the fore now, JT Poston on the PGA Tour, Eric Cole, you've got who else has been. Denny McCarthy, really good players, but like there's not really much compelling about them as characters. As you know, not really.
Also, like, on. I think
it's worrying. Thing, like it's
the biggest thing I would say is, for example, that guy Dunlop who won.
Yeah, Dunlop.
A few
years
ago. Like, I'd be worried if they started snatching those types of people away because, like, I feel like in PGA Tour you have the Ricky Fowlers, the Jordan Spieths, the JTs, underneath them, I think there's still a bit of a gap. You know, like that generation, if you want to call it that, of golfers seems to be kind of getting now pushing up into their 30s, high 30s. Is there really a new group coming in yet? And my biggest fear would be if Liv snatched that.
There's one or two, yeah. So Tagala, Zalatoris, Cam Young. Probably three of the most prominent young guys who are clearly fucking awesome. And they're all currently PGA Tour members. And you don't, yeah, you're right. Like, we're now very much to the point where, you know, I'd poo-pooed the capability of Liv to attract these players for ages. Then it was like, well, okay, they're taking the has-beens, the washed-up guys, the, you know, Poulter, Westwood. Okay, fair enough. They're taking Garcia. Oh, shit, they took DJ, right? That's a bit of a... Yeah. That's not great. Oh, shit, they took Bryson. But now they've got John Rahm.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't fucking... Did you see the name of his team? So the name of his team was... Legion 13, so it's the 13th team. So, Legion is the name of the team. And this was his fucking quote, right? Listen to this for such fucking nonsense, right? Pulling from the attributes of proud, determined, and true, Ram infused his team's DNA with honesty, emotion, and a sense of togetherness. Then his quote, I wanted to go down the warrior spirit mythology side for the team's name. The term loyalty is very important for me. I think it embodies the warrior spirit through its decisiveness and ready for battle mindset. You are playing golf. What the fuck are you talking about? You're talking about loyalty. You were spouting about the heritage of the PGA Tour, and then when an actual, and saying that 400 million quid wouldn't change your life, and when an actual offer came in, you fucked off. What are you talking about? There's no loyalty in golf. What even is that? That is just for diarrhea. It's actually embarrassing.
Surely his PR team were like, look, John, if you put this out, you're going to be getting a fucking doing over. And he probably was like, I couldn't care less.
Part of the trade off for all the money they're getting for Liv is they're just going to have to eat copious, monstrous amounts of shit on social media for a long time.
Yeah.
Because the teams are embarrassing and stupid. The branding looks fucking stupid. It looks like they're about to race in Need for Speed Underground 2. You're playing golf, mate. it makes no sense.
And the coverage is shocking as well. I think that's one thing that that's at least the PGA has over Liv, is that coverage was stinking last year. Bad.
It's not like the PGA Tour's coverage is any good.
No. I agree.
They don't even show a guy could be second, and they don't even show any of his shots down the stretch.
That's true. Especially if he's not fucking American. Yeah, never. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's. I know we'll we could probably talk about this for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, we'll move on. But
we shall move on to, I guess, last week. We could talk about last week. I had Tony Finau backed, and I reckon if you gave me every time he hit the green, I subbed in for Tony, I think I genuinely would have done better.
Yeah, you would have.
I've never seen worse putting. And we talk about Scotty being off with the putter lately, or JT or Spieth or whatever. Lad, that it was literally he was space jammed every time he got to the green. I've never seen it before.
I didn't get to see much of it last week because we were away for a long weekend in Anglesey. Super chilled. But what I did see was a stat that Tony Finau's week from 4 to 8 feet, his conversion rate was 12%. What?
And lad, I'm telling you now, right now.
Ray Charles would have made 15%.
Lad, and the thing as well, right? He was fine on the front nine of the final round. The second his foot stepped on that 10th green, it was genuinely someone had blind, one or two of his putts, lad, weren't even in the direction of.
I saw one where it looked like he hit a couple of wrong buttons on the PlayStation.
Yeah,
because he was aiming 10 degrees left on a straight putt, and it just
down the hill. And if anything, it probably turned more left. Do you know what I mean? It was what is? Because I was watching him, and when on the ninth hole, he was one shot behind, and I was like, fuck, lad, he could do it here. And then I saw that putt, and I was like, nah, I turned it off. I was like, there's no point, because if he's putting like that, fuck me, it's over.
And to make it even weirder, in terms of putting, Will Zalatoris was top 15 in putting last week. So, I haven't picked him this week. We're going to get on to Pebble Beach and the AT&T shortly. But Zalatoris is starting to sort out his yips with the putter. Then watch out. Because you're going to... I think he could be 100-1 this week. He could be even bigger. It was a tough beat for you on Finau. It's really frustrating when a guy has the game sorted, but then just can't. He just turns into Happy Gilmore on the greens. Scotty's had a whole season of it. One of the greatest tee to green statistical performances in history, and he only won three players. Yeah. What did he win? Players. He defended. The Phoenix, and he won another one. Anyway,
I can't remember off
my head, but that's new. So the winner, we gotta have a word for Matthew Pavon. His third ever PGA Tour start, got in by being top 20 on the DP World Tour last year, and I think there was a crazy moment for him about 2 or 3 years ago where he needed to birdie the last two holes or he's going to lose his tour card on the European Tour, and he. So it just goes to show you the margins in this sport are just tiny. He's now won that event And now he will be, you know, at the Players. He'll be at all the majors. He'll be in the signature events. He's basically his opportunity now to like consolidate his place in like the top 100 or better in the world is now open for him for a year because of one great week. And fairness to him, his shot on 18 was
ridiculous.
It reminded me of Matty Fitz.
Now, yes.
Different context. You know, a major is much bigger than the Farmers, blah, blah, blah. But in that rough and managed to get it to, what, 8 feet or something? And needing
lad, do you know what I couldn't get over as well? I know this is so stupid thing to say, but he was the first ever French player to win a PGA tournament. I couldn't get over when I heard that.
Yeah, it's wild. Well, name like French players. So like
Victor Dubuisson is the only one I could think of off the top of my head. Yeah,
Thomas LeVay, who played Ryder Cup, never played PGA Tour. Obviously, Jean Van de Velde. We don't need to talk about 98 or 99 at was it 99 or 2000 at St Andrews and his meltdown. But yeah, there's not been that many.
Yeah, but it's crazy though, like because it's a big country with decent golf courses. You think they'd churn out one or two? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
I thought what was cool was that one of the first shout outs that Pavan gave when he won was to say, well, you know, look, I'm inspired by my fellow like countrywoman Celine Boutier, because Boutier is now obviously, you know, on the female game a major champion, and she is you know, bona fide top 5-6 in the world now. And the fact that he was very quick to point out her as kind of a point of inspiration for him was quite cool.
Yeah. So just really randomly there, speaking of the women's game, you didn't catch any of the women's last weekend, did you?
Unbelievable. So I didn't. I watched the highlights subsequently because, like probably everyone, I've got my eyes on the Chiefs-Ravens game. And so this is all going on. I checked Twitter. Lydia Ko, she needs one more win and she's got enough to enter the LPGA Hall of Fame. And she's only like 25, so that's crazy.
Yeah.
Or maybe, oh no, she's a little older than that, maybe 28. But so Nelly Korda has a 4-shot lead overnight, doesn't make anything until the 16th hole. No birdies, nothing. A couple of drop shots.
Yeah.
Lydia on 17 hits a wood into the par 5 to what? 5 inches?
Yeah, I would say less than a foot anyway, yeah.
So she's now 3 ahead. Of course, she's played, she's in the clubhouse. Nelly's on the way, hasn't made a thing all fucking day. That 17th hole again. 200-odd yards. Nelly does the same thing. So a kick-in eagle from inches. And then an 18 sticks it even closer to get to a playoff. It was actually...
Yeah. It was class. It was like, if that was Tiger versus Rory, we'd be talking about it for 100%. Years.
Because yeah, like, generally, like years. Too, so that literally was Rory against Scheffler or Rory against Ram. And that madness happening. Yeah. So it was what was it called? The Drive On Championship. The purse was 1.75 mil. It's just one of the early LPGA Tour events, but fuck me, what an ending. So Nelly wins the second playoff hole. And considering the injuries that she's had, like she's got just the most perfect, she arguably as good a swing as Rory McIlroy is in terms of power and elegance and balance and tempo, everything. And she's had loads of injury problems with her back, and now she's back in the winner's circle. It was actually great to see. I love Nelly. I think Nelly's awesome.
Apparently she's a super, super nice person as well.
I'm sure she is. Yeah. She seems like, I loved how endearing she was when she asked Tiger for a selfie. At the PNC, at the Player and Child. And she was like giggling like a schoolgirl. She was, and Ty was like, "Yeah, of course, Nelly. Like you're literally world number one."
Yeah, he's like, "You're literally world number one. I should be asking you for the picture." Like,
really super in there. So yeah, good for Nelly. That was awesome.
So before we move on to this week, there's probably a few more things we want to cover, is it? Since we've been off for a while,
let's enough of looking backwards. Let's look forwards. Yeah. Look, the point of this podcast is we are trying to find you guys winners. We're looking through the data. We watch this every week. We're trying to give you like a bit of a fast track to, okay, this guy suits here. This guy suits here. This guy's playing well. This guy's under the radar. So honest to God, we've nearly had a winner this year. Ben Ann at the Sony lost to a 40-foot putt and then missed his 4-footer in a playoff, and that would have been a 40-1 winner.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but it sounds so funny when you say it. Like,
oh my god, that one really hurt. And then, yeah, so that's as close as we've gotten. Picking any of those winners, Chris Kirk, maybe you could have made an argument for to win the century.
If you had Dunlop or Pavon, like
or Grayson
that
was Murray.
That's it.
Yeah, Grayson Murray, who's before he won, was it the Amex that he won?
Yeah.
So before he won the Amex, he was most famous for the guy, like, you know, sending a letter to the PGA demanding answers as a player. And, you know, Rory just like torched him, was like, maybe just play better. And wasn't there this trend of like Chris Kirk had alcohol problems, sort of, you know, managed to get himself back and away from alcohol and sober and wins. Grayson Murray the same and wins. And then I think there was Andy Ekroat, apparently same crack, and everybody was backing him for like last week, just in case the trend of like sober alcoholics was going to come up. Bit of bloody tough start. Been the most unpredictable start to a PGA Tour season I can ever remember.
And that's going to happen. It honestly just shows, like, right now, if you're picking 3-4 players, have at least one over 100-1. You may as well.
You may as well. This time of the year. Yeah, for sure. So, right, let's go and do some picks.
Pebble Beach. Yeah.
I think if you get John Rahm in the final group on Sunday, I think he stands on next and he's going to get it done.
Because the winner this week is going to be my one and done pick. I put it on Twitter. Put my cards down on the line. I'm going for Rory McIlroy.
I'm hopping aboard the Billy Ho train. He's 28, so I think you can get him.
Straight off the bat, not even going to waste time. Paul Casey and Sam Burns, previous winners, both over 22-1. I think that's an absolute value bet there. My third pick is Hideki Matsuyama. I got him at 18s this morning.
All right, so we are going to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which is way, way, way better. This is now finally, we've got a field befitting in a venue. So this was always a Pro-Am. It used to be across three golf courses. So they used to have Monterey Peninsula, Spyglass Hill, which is this absolutely incredible golf course on the West Coast. And then right beside it, obviously, the infamous Pebble Beach, which needs no introduction. If you don't know Pebble Beach or anything about it, you'll probably stumble onto the wrong podcast. This year, it's the second signature event of the PGA Tour season. So we don't like this, but it's a 4-round no-cut event with 80 players. So there is a chance that Davis Riley or fucking Peter Malnati, who both get in here, win it at a big price. But you've got, of the people who are left on the PGA Tour, you've got pretty much everyone's here. Rory's here, Scotty's here, Xander's here, Morikawa's here, JT is here, Hovland's back after a bit of a hiatus. We don't know. He's a total unknown quantity, but I'd expect him to go really well. Brute, do you want to do the market? Have you got it up or I can do it?
Yeah, sorry, I'm literally up at the moment. Just give me 2 seconds there. If you want to interest, I guess.
Yeah, I can go. So, give me one second. Rory, well, top of the board, Rory and Scotty are eights. We've got Hovland at 12s, Xander 14s, Homa 16s, Cantley 18s. I'm looking at best price there on Odds Checker. Spieth 18s as well. Morikawa, Justin Thomas, 22s, 25s respectively. And then the last I'll mention is just Ludvig Åberg at 28-1, which is absolutely hilarious that he is like nearly half the price of Jason Day. That just goes to show you.
Yeah.
How highly this kid is rated.
Or even like Matsuyama is like 60-1. Like
60-1.
That's crazy. Like, that's immense.
A reigning US Open champ, Wyndham Clark, has been in poor form, admittedly. 80-1 shit.
Yeah, fuck. Adam Scott, like 71, Justin Rose.
Oh, the
like
one I saw, 110-1 on Ricky Fowler, if you want that. So it is actually, like, it's a stacked field. It really is. Like, you go the whole way down. If you fancy Lucas Glover, who nearly made a run to win the FedEx last year, you can get him at 200-1.
Yeah.
In a no-cut event.
Some big prices.
Some big prices. So, Yeah, in terms of like trends and in terms of what you want to watch out for, three of the rounds around Pebble Beach. Pebble Beach off the tee for these guys is a cinch. The fairways are wide and generous. Guys are going to hit loads of fairways. It kind of makes driving a bit irrelevant. Where Pebble Beach has its teeth, as we all know, is the greens are tiny. They're 3,500 square meters on average. That is way, 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 that's about like 30% smaller than a PGA Tour average. So they're little posted stamp greens. When you find that green, you're going to have to roll in some putts. So this week, we're really looking at guys who throw a lot of darts from fairways and can finish it off when they get there, in a nutshell.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
so I've got, because I'm now chasing it a little bit, it's a better field, and I think I've got a couple of decent angles. I've picked six guys, which is a little spicy, but...
Top nine golf right here, lads. Top nine golf.
Yeah, top nine golf. Do you know, I've six guys, but I've only picked one of the top guys. So I've got five guys, 50 to 1 and above. So I'll rattle through. And please let me know if you think this is a shit pick or a good pick as we go. So I'm going to start with the California kid. It's Max Homa.
Yeah.
Five of seven PGA Tour victories in California. His worst finish in his last 11 events is tied 21st. And that was the Rocket Mortgage back in like last August, ages and ages ago. Also since then, he's had like five top 10s and he won in South Africa at the Nedbank not too long ago. In terms of his form around Pebble, best finish is T7 2021. But just in terms of ball striking, 50 at the green last 6 months. I love Max in California. I think he's a great pick. There's one thing that at the top I needed to mention, and it's super important if you're making picks this week. The weather forecast is a shocker.
Yeah,
it's going to be windy as fuck. I saw that the average wind speed on Sunday is forecast to be somewhere in the region of 35 miles an hour. So that is, your golf ball is like, it's got a mind of its own.
Aiming like 50 yards left or right there, realistically. Like,
you could be hitting six irons from 140, 130. So the weather is a massive wild card here. And if you haven't made your bets yet, if you're smarter than I am, at least, you would have waited until the draw comes out, see if there's a bias. Yeah, because you know, some side of the draw is probably going to get screwed here. And it's going to make life a hell of a lot harder if you're on the wrong side of the draw. So it's looking like rain 3 to 4 days. Monday's also looking really wet. So this could be one that could go like into next week, realistically. Oh. It happened last year. Justin Rose won on the Monday last year. So that's something that I needed, should have said at the top of this show, or the top of the picks. But yeah, you got to factor that in.
Yeah, fair enough.
I haven't, but Max Homa was my first pick. Moving on. Arguably, the most informed golfer in the world right now is Ben Ahn. He did break my heart. He was 40 to 1 to win the Sony Open. I thought I was getting a big payday. That was going to set me up for the season. And then he missed a four-footer inexplicably, having had a 13-foot eagle putt to win it outright on the 72nd hole. But he's playing amazing golf. He is second tee to green in the last 6 months, or last 3 months, and also fourth around the greens and 15th in putting. Like, just really, really elite stuff. Really should have won the Sony. He's had, obviously, that runner-up place, fourth at the Century, and two more top fives at the back end last season, just playing great golf. The only thing he needs to get better at, he's only 51st in the last 6 months on approach, which is good, but you probably need to be kicking it up to a top 25 if you're going to contend around Pebble Beach. But 50 to 1, I think, even with all the big lads back, even with Rory and Scotty and all them boys back, I really think Benny Ahn is going to play well this week. So 50 to 1 for Benny. Another 50 to 1 shot, and probably the other guy who's playing some serious golf consistently, is Bo Hostler. So third here and tied 11th here in the last 2 years. He's up to 31st, according to Data Golf, in terms of his performance over the last year. And I think his world ranking is 60-odd. So he's way outperforming his actual world ranking. Three top 10s in his last five. All three of them would have cashed for places. That includes a T6 last week. And he was 11th in putting and 14th in approach last week at Torrey Pines, which is a fucking brute, both of those golf courses. You have to be playing seriously well to shoot under par around there, and he did quite easily. So really like Bo Hostler, 50-1. Three more. Danny McCarthy, Dame checked him earlier. Statistically the best putter on tour over the last year. Tied 12th and tied 4th here the last 2 years. I mean, he was tied 4th, he was 2nd in putting. That data is just confined to Pebble Beach. Doesn't include Spyglass, doesn't include Monterey, which is good because Monterey is obviously gone this year. Two top 10s recently, top 25 at Sony. Puts really well, really good tee to green, getting better all the time. 66-1 is a juicy price. I'm having it all day. And then my last two, I'm taking Christian Bezuidenhout, who has the best name on the tour. Who picked up the winner's check at the Amex. Nick Dunlap, amateur, can't win the money. Bezuidenhout had a 7-under par Sunday and took the money. Even though he didn't get the trophy, he took the winner's check. He missed the cut last week. I'm not too worried about that. He's the top dog on approach on the PGA Tour in the last 3 months. First on approach, 6th in putting. Only done the Pro-Am once at Pebble Beach, and he was tied 14th. So that's nice. 100-1, big price. That was 150-1 early in the week. So people have been backing him. I think Bez is actually a great bet this week, like a really great bet. And he's a guy who can hang tough as well. South Africans can always play well in the wind. They have great mentalities. They got patience. I think he's a fucking brilliant bet, 100-1. He's actually my favorite bet of the week, is Bez.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Last one. I know you have him as well. I got Maverick McNealy FOMO. So I've added Maverick McNealy at 100-1. He's had a shit 2023. He was spraying it all over the place off the tee for most of the year. But it seems like he's worked hard on his long game. And last week he was 19th off the tee at the Farmers. He's a really good putter, like fucking top 10 putter on the PGA Tour. And he's got great form here. 2021 AT&T Pro-Am, he was 2nd. 2020 tied 5th. 100-1. Last week he finished tied 37th, but he did have a Sunday 75, which dropped him down the field. I think it's a fair price, actually. I don't think it's a great price. I would have liked a little bit more on him, but I've seen on Twitter too many people are on McNealy here. And if you're looking at these triple digit winners, you want to insulate yourself.
Yeah. And I also read something like the last 3 or 4 times he's played here, he's been top 5 strokes gained in the field.
There you go. Yeah.
All
the data points to him. The downside for him is he had such an awful season last season, but the optics last week looked really good. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Solid picks.
I'll give you one just big, massive dart. A guy whose strokes gained approach this season is in the top 5. Mark Hubbard, 175-1. He's really good. Really good with short irons. Really good in approach. Last year around here, he was 4th. Last week at the Farmers, he finished tied 20th. He was 4th tee to green, but he was 65th in putting and 71st in, around the greens. And 77 lads made the cut. So getting in the hole is a problem. Getting the two of the hole is not a problem. 175-1, I've seen worse bets.
100%. No, I actually like that. Especially the way things are going, as you said. Yeah, honestly, you should just be there. €2 each way on these on one or two big prices is kind of worth it these days. Like, so you may as well chance your arm.
Exactly.
Right. So look, I'll fly through mine.
Some places are paying. I think Carl are paying 10 places in an 80-man field. So, you know,
that's massive. Yeah. Right. I'll go through mine super quick. That's number one pick. And I really strongly like this player. I've liked him for years. And I finally see him starting to come back to the player I think he was in kind of 2015, 2016, is Jordan Spieth. Mm-hmm. I can't get away from him. I just really like him. He's starting to really come good again. I think this could be a year that I think he gets out from under the kind of JT shadow. I think JT's always talked about Spieth is kind of taking the back seat for the last few years. I think this year he's going to really step up and win. I got him at 20-1, which probably is a bit short, to be honest with you. In this field, he probably should be closer to 28, I would say.
I think it's probably fair. Like, I mean, he's second in 2022. Do you remember, was it 2022 when he had to take that shot at the cliff edge?
Yes.
So sketchy.
Yeah.
They've since put up a big railing there. He was at the very edge of the cliff, hitting the fucking full-blooded 8-iron out of the rough.
Yeah. But yeah, like, as I said, he plays well here. He's playing really well here. So he was my kind of first pick.
Nice.
Second pick, I went a bit random with this pick, but he's picked up so far this year, which is Nick Taylor, the Canadian. He's played in 3 events. He's gotten 1 top 10, 1 top 25, and he has 1 missed cut. He was T6 at the Sony. That's the kind of start of January, and then he was T40 at the Century. So I think he's a player that suits his kind of golf course well.
Oh, he's a great pick. He's a former champ as well. He won it in 2020.
So I wouldn't go back too far, but yeah, I think 2020 he's played well. He played decent last year, wasn't great though. Like, I don't think, obviously, and in 2021 I think he was good as well. But yeah, I think I got him at 66-1, so I think it's a pretty decent price.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, he's actually a great pick.
Yeah, and I think honestly there's no point in going further back than that, to be honest with you. Another pick I had is Harris English, player who kind of let me down there at the end of last year. I can't remember what tournament it was. He was leading and he fucking shot the bit. as most of my picks do.
The first time with him.
Yeah, I'm going to say, as most of my picks do. But no, I saw him at 80-1. Again, I think that's just a really, really good like price for a player of that caliber. Again, kind of suits this type of course. And especially with the wind and stuff, I think you really just take darts at the higher odd players if the wind is going to be that strong and just sit back and enjoy, you know what I mean?
It's weird. There's some players, for some reason, maybe it's just like, it could be something as trivial as the head in them, but I just can't ever back. Harris English is one of them. I will never back him. Like, I will never, ever, ever back Xander. Xander is, in terms of form, recent form and course form, Xander is arguably the best pick of the lot of the front runners this week at 18-1. I'm just never backing him, ever. I won't do it. And Harris English, for some real flippant reasons, I'm the same. I just can't back him. I'm allergic to him.
No, that's absolutely fair. and then obviously my last pick then as well is Maverick McNealy, which we've already talked about. So yeah, so they're my
nice.
They're my four picks. So
solid.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly think we actually both have very solid picks now. I'd be surprised if out of the 9 different picks we have that we don't get a winner out of that. Like,
we'll get a Sunday sweat on, I'm sure. But the biggest takeaway for guys this week, if you haven't placed any bets yet, if you're still looking, well, I don't know, the draw could be out actually by now, so we're recording what Tuesday evening, it probably is. Look at the draw, look at the weather. If you've got a fancy and he's the right side of the draw for the weather, get all over it. If you have a fancy and he's the wrong side of the draw, just consider the possibility that he's going to be fucking arsing around in howling wind and rain for 3 days while the other lads are cozy in the clubhouse, and that could really work against you.
Exactly.
We've seen it happen so many times. And like, just a quick word before we go on Rory. So, you know, brilliant form so far. Should have won back-to-back, really. Should have won... Won the Dubai Desert Classic for a record 4th time. Should have won the week before.
But man, I'm sorry now. Like, there's not many bankers in golf. But Rory and the Dubai Desert Classic, lad, is just...
Yeah.
And like, Jittery is just like... He just rocks up after 2 or 3 months off and just fucks the rest of the field out of it.
There's something, you know, there's a romance to it because it was his first ever professional win. Was 2009.
Yeah, that sounds about right, didn't it? Yeah,
he won it 2009, he won again like 2012, and he's won it back to back now. Yeah, so look, a word on Rory. Frankly, this is extremely windy. I don't know offhand what Rory has done like at Pebble Beach in terms of like recent US Opens. I actually don't have that in front of me right now. Didn't Gary Woodland win here, and then Graham McDowell before that? But it sounds bloody windy. And I think the one part of Rory's game right now that's still a work in progress is he seems to be getting stuck behind on his swing a little bit, and he's hitting a lot. He's hooking a lot, like a lot of pull hooks left. Yeah. I say a lot. One in five.
One in 52 shots.
But he looks razor sharp, and
he does. He really does.
I'm afraid to keep saying it, but look, it's happening this year. He's gonna.
Look, you know what? Augusta
is happening this year.
I'm dying on the hill of saying I don't think he'll ever win Augusta, but I do think.
Look, you're
two majors. Outside of the Masters, I think Rory is very much going to be up there, especially with all the bullshit that's gone on. He's now off the PGA board. He says he just wants to concentrating on his fucking golf and
going
to
let his golf tournaments
as he can before he retires. And that's a very dangerous McIlroy.
I think he's just going to let his golf ball talk, and I really do think he's walking away with at least one major.
I totally agree with that. I just don't think it'll be the Masters, but I totally agree with that.
If I'm going to pick the two of them, it'll be the Masters and it'll be the US Open, which is at is it Bethpage?
See, I'd go the Open and the US personally, or the Open and the PGA. Oh, Pointers. But yeah, I agree with you. Look, just one was really quickly there before we go. We brush through. We have the Bahrain Masters also.
Yes.
So the Bahrain Masters is on in the Royal Golf Club in Doha. Hope I'm correct there now. Please.
Is it in Doha?
I believe it is in Doha. Yeah.
It's Bahrain. It's Bahrain fucking champion Masters, but it's in Doha.
Yeah. Right.
Shit don't make a lick of sense.
Yeah, I know. This is what I'm reading in it. So if it's wrong, I do apologize. Don't come after me, people.
Go after them. Absolutely.
But yeah, so it actually hasn't been played here in 13 years. So it's the first time it's back. And we've had players like Colin Montgomery has fucking strolled it around here. Ian Poulter, Paul Casey, like bigger kind of names have won here in the past. It's basically quite a short par 72 course. It has really short par fours on the front nine. And then on the back nine, it has like very short two par fives that are like pretty easily gotten to with like a driver and a five iron for like pros. So I think it's kind of the silly season type of course that we're going to be seeing like a 25 under kind of score wins it.
I haven't looked into it too deeply, like, to be honest, because just the feel is so good.
Yeah.
Look, we haven't mentioned Liv, by the way. We know, like, we're well aware that the Liv season kicks off in Mayakoba on Friday with all these teams and all these players and all this money and all this bollocks. At some point in time, I guess, yeah, we need to do Liv previews. It depends. What do our listeners currently think? Like, do you guys have any interest in this? I still can't. And sorry to go back to Liv. I know we're talking about Bahrain, but just really quickly, I even know it, like Ram and Hatton and Abe Anser and fucking Bryson and DJ and Koepka and Cam Smith. Yeah, I still don't give a fuck. I really, really don't.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just because I'm used to the PGA. Like, maybe the PGA victories are arbitrary as well. Maybe it's all now just, oh fuck, any kind of trophy, just give me the money. And it's nothing really to do with sport or putting your name on a trophy or a bit of history. It's just give me money. Maybe the PGA Tour is that now as well. I don't know. But
I mean, also, lad, like,
live so nakedly about money, I just don't give a shit.
But also, John Rahm is going to be like 3-1 every single fucking tournament.
Yeah, that's true.
No, like I'm not shitting on Liv. I'm just saying, like, from a what we do point of view, every week it's going to be us saying, John Rahm's top of the market at 3-1, followed by Tyrrell Hatton, Bryson, Joaquin Niemann, Cameron Smith. That's going to be your top five every single week. And yes, you can say the PGA Tour is like that as well, but not to the same extent. So if people want us to do previews on LIV, we'll put up a little poll on Twitter and see what people say. And if people want us to do it, we'll do it. I have no problem with it. But just letting you know, as an audience, it's going to be fairly regurgitative. And if we're doing picks, I'm picking fucking John Rahm nearly every single week religiously. Yeah. You know what I mean? So if you're fine with that, I am fine with saying it.
You know, I'm trying to find the market here. I can't find it.
I found one on Odds Checker. So you Rahm at 4-1. Then right. The second favorite is Tyrrell Hatton, Bryson DeChambeau, and Joaquin Niemann at 14-1.
14s.
Then you have Cam Smith at 16, Taylor Gooch at 18s, DJ at 20, Brooks Koepka at 20. Whoa, they have Ajin Mironk in here at 22s.
22s.
Wow, unreal. That's big. He doesn't even fucking sign for them.
Man, I forgot about Mito Pereira. I know Mito Pereira broke my heart at the USPGA, but fucking Oosthuizen, Sebastian Munoz, first round leader.
Here, lad, this is not a bad. Market's shit, but like the names are pretty decent to be fair.
I have to concede. Fucking Harald Varner, remember that insane putt for about 95 years to win?
Man, Henrik Stenson's 50-1.
Yeah.
That's a value bet if I've ever seen it in my life.
Paul Casey, 80-1. Oh yeah, look, his back isn't shite. He's not. He's like, you know, Paul Casey is.
Thomas Peters is 100-1.
Yeah.
Right, and I.
Bubba Watson 150.
Yeah. So look, just getting back to the Bahrain there quickly before we got too off topic.
Yeah.
Rasmus Højgaard is your favorite, followed by Keita Nakajima, Yannick Paul, and then Jordan Smith. Rasmus Højlund is 9-1. Nakajima is 18. Yannick Paul is 20. And Jordan Smith is 22. To be honest, I wouldn't venture too much above those four lads, to be honest with you. The DP Tour is usually the top five. One of them usually wins, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously the foreign player in this field is Rasmus second last week.
The guys I think we definitely have an old winner. We definitely have a winner on the Pebble. And as I said, we shall put up the poll and ask people if they want us to do live. And if they want us to do live, we shall do live. But again, they picking Rahm every single week? I don't want to hear any comments and tweets about it because fuck you.
Your co-host is going to give you a bunch of shit. I'll give you a bunch of shit. But it doesn't mean you're wrong.
If he ever shows up, he can give me shit.
I'll give you just two names in Bahrain. I don't know if I'm going to back them yet, but two guys who I rank really highly and I've just seen have got some decent prices. Callum Shinquin saved me last week, 80-1. He ended up tied fourth. He was 36-hole leader. You can still get him on Bet365 at 50-1. I think the fact that this field is a little weaker is a fucking phenomenal price. Like he was at one stage on Thursday last week, Shinquin had 6 holes left and 3 birdies, would have shot a 59 on a par 72. Outrageous. Yeah. Other guy, super talented Scott, Connor Syme. I can see Skybet have him at 66-1. I like both of them guys. I might have a dip. I also can see that Pablo Rathbone is 50-1. There's a bit of value there, to be fair.
Rafa Cabrera Bayo is 100-1.
Yeah. That's nice too.
But honestly, look, I've seen just on Twitter in general, I've seen a lot of people backing Anton Rosner and a lot of people backing Sebastian Soderberg. So just two names I want to throw out there as well. That's it. So we should let you
win. If they win, we'll clip it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, like, I'm just gonna add two of them now to my picks just for the sake of it. Like, you know what I mean? But look, go on, sure, lad. It was great to be back. We shall be back again next week.
Yeah. Well, let's reclaim our listenership. Obviously, you haven't heard from us in a while, but if you do enjoy it, give us a tweet. we're Finders Fairway on Twitter. We're not so active anywhere else. And yeah, ratings mean a lot to us. We do this, you know, we have full-time jobs. We do this just as a hobby. If we can pick you a winner or give you some good insight, that's class. If we can make you laugh or give you a bit of crack, that's even better, arguably. So yeah, Sinead. Yep. And best of luck to everyone putting bets on this week.
Go on, lad. Talk to you soon.
Just take a moment to admire the fact that I just hit a fairway.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot. So why waste time doing it?
And wherever I go, wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at.
Right at it. Home!
Jordan,
he's
Spain.
Done it again!
This is the dumbest hole I've ever played in my life.
Come on then, Shane. Knock it close. Shane Lowry is the Open champion.